Welcome to Trust the Badge. In this episode, I interview John Quiñones, who is a U.S. congressional candidate for Florida's 9th Congressional District. Mr. Quiñones was the first Puerto Rican Republican member of the Florida House of Representatives, and he shares his accomplishments as well as what he would like to achieve in the U.S. House of Representatives. Mr. Quiñones emphasizes his utmost respect and support for law enforcement and what he would like to achieve in the U.S. House of Representatives to support law enforcement and the community. Trust the Badge does not endorse any politicians or political candidates, but please enjoy this interview.
I'm John Quiñones, candidate for U.S. Congress, District 9. I'm a resident of Osceola County, but pretty much resided in Central Florida for over 40 years. Came here from Puerto Rico at age 14. Had to work at Disney and Valencia so I could pay for my studies at UCF. I then went to law school, and when I went to law school, I had to take out a significant amount of student loans, about $65,000. It took me about 10 years, but I did pay them off. I didn't need Biden to bail me out, fortunately, and I've been practicing law here in Central Florida for now a little over 30 years, mainly family, some criminal. I do civil and some probate. And just about anything that comes up, I try to advise clients and businesses in the community. I did serve in the legislature in Tallahassee. I was a representative in the House from 2002 to about 2007. Then I went to the county commission here in Osceola County and served there for about another 7 years. Then decided that we'll give politics a break. And as an elected official, and concentrated on my practice. But now I'm very excited about running for District 9. I think there's a lot of changes that need to happen in Congress, and I want to be a strong proponent of some of those changes.
Mr. Quiñones, thank you again for being here. So just to start off the interview, in Congress, how do you plan to prioritize your district's needs?
Yeah, well, District 9, it's a very, you know, it's a district that I know well. I represented it when I was in Tallahassee, a lot of the same areas that I represent now. It's a very diverse district. Close to 50% of the community is of Hispanic origin. And I know and I served this community when I was in Tallahassee, a lot of issues that come up. At the end of the day, we're all the same when we think about America. We want equality of opportunity. So I'm going to prioritize my district in this regards. I want equality of opportunities. I want to make sure that we tackle the inflation that we are currently having, and it's mainly due to the failed policies of the Biden administration, and actually the congressman in this district has neglected it in many ways, which I can expound on as you wish. But the reality is that we need to make sure that this district is energy independent, that we go back to the policies of not relying on foreign wars and foreign oil, that we can produce domestically, that we can lower our gas prices. And as a result, it will lower a lot of the basic necessities that this community requires. Other than that, just a lot of constituent service. I used to, when I was in Tallahassee, I really enjoyed solving some of the constituent issues. Back then, it was issues regarding Medicaid or Social Security, things like that. And I certainly will do so again when I'm in Congress.
That sounds great. It looks like you're very, very passionate about your community. And I see that you have a lot of goals. Are there any specific goals that you'd like to achieve by the end of your term?
Absolutely. You know, by the end of the term, and really tackle initially, we need to work towards having a balanced budget. We need to make sure that we are accountable for the ways that sometimes occurs in Congress. I actually did that when I was a commissioner. We cut down about 20% of our budget at the local level without sacrificing services to the community. By services, I mean law enforcement, fire protection, you know, basic necessities that government is supposed to provide. At the federal level, we need to do the same. We need to concentrate on those basic necessities, national security, of course, law enforcement as well, and those things, securing our border. Those are the priorities that I want to take to Congress to make sure that we not only talk the talk, but walk the walk, and we take action that's desperately needed in this area so we can have a government for the people and one that is efficient for the people.
That's interesting, and I really like your points. So relating to your aspects on law enforcement, what are your views on the current state of trust between law enforcement and the community in your district, and what steps need to be taken to improve it if needed?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, sometimes the media has contributed to a lot of the mistrust that we have with law enforcement.
Absolutely.
You know, law enforcement is the first line of defense. It's the first line of defense when it comes to our communities. They're there when we need them, and then we deserve the respect of the citizens. And so I believe that there's a lot that we can do as elected officials to help in that. Obviously, it's not only about funding, although I think it's very important for law enforcement to be appropriately funded, not only for their service, but also for training and their professionals in what they do. And we need to make sure that we provide appropriate funding, but we also provide appropriate support when it comes to the service that they provide for us.
What legislative measures would you support or propose to enhance transparency and accountability within law enforcement agencies, if there are any?
Well, remember, we're talking now law enforcement. We have to support it at the state level and at the local level. A lot of the funding comes from local funds, depending on what type of law enforcement. Obviously, we have border patrols that are part of the federal government. Border patrols are very important. They need to be properly trained in detection of drugs, fentanyl that's crossing the border. We need to constantly be supporting their acts. Sometimes, you know, we criticize the law enforcement, and the reality is that, you know, that is the exception will be law enforcement that may engage in some bad activity. That is the exception. That is not the rule. And we need to support the rule of what law enforcement brings, which is obviously enforcement of the rule of law. And when it comes to securing our borders, we need to be there for them. When it comes to all the federal agencies, when it comes to having proper training for them in different areas, but mainly, you know, there's a lot of things that they're experiencing now with trafficking of human trafficking when it comes to drug cartels. And at the federal level, we need to focus on providing them with the proper amount of training and also proper amount of funding so they can do their job.
And what about local law enforcement? Could you just touch on that? I completely agree that federal agencies such as Border Patrol should definitely need more funding and better training for their specific areas. But what about local law enforcement?
Well, local law enforcement, they get funded mainly through the local taxes, you know, property taxes, and the county commission is the one that votes usually with the union to get a good compensation package and training package. As a federal official, we need to support that. We can't stand in the way of that. I will tell you, there's a simple rule, and that is, you know, when law enforcement approaches you, whether it's somebody that does a simple stop, you know, the way to approach it is show respect. You know, if you show respect, I would say 9 out of 10 times, law enforcement is going to show respect back to you. And so that is what it's about. You know, it's about going back to the role of law enforcement being part of our community, being an integral part of our community, and essentially show the respect that they deserve. You're not going to win a battle of arguments in the middle of a street when you get a traffic ticket. You know, if you think it was wrongfully given to you, well, you know what? Maybe you have a process, you have a judicial process you can go. But getting into an argument with an officer in the middle of the street is just, it's not something wise, and it's not something that you should be doing. And I advise my children not to do it, and certainly advise anybody in the community not to do it.
I completely agree, Mr. Quinones. And let's just shift the topic to community role and community engagement and trust. In your opinion, what role should community engagement play in strengthening the relationship between law enforcement and the community? And how can we encourage and facilitate this?
Well, law enforcement should be included in not only, you know, when we need them. You know, law enforcement should be included in community events, chamber of commerce events, in, you know, charitable events. I mean, they do so much more than just simply be part of our community as an enforcer of the law. And they need to be recognized for that. So to me, it's going back to the days where you will have a name behind the law enforcement that you would know in your community. And that's, you know, how still is done in some of the smaller communities. I know it's harder to do in larger communities, but it's not impossible. You know, you put a name with a face, and this is Officer Lopez or Officer Smith, and you know, be recognized for being a member of an integral member of our community, just like, you know, first responders or doctors or lawyers or whoever. You know, they're very professional at what they do, and they need to be recognized as such.
I agree, Mr. Quinones, and I do believe that there are currently some community programs, and I'm sure that you'd be more supportive of like more community police stations, more community programs, including law enforcement, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, I know that they also have some youth programs as well that, you know, they engage in the high schools and in the community, which I think are awesome. They're needed, and they need to be recognized and promoted. And as elected officials, we have a job to recognize those. You know, I'm part of Teen Court, which is a youth program for young volunteers that want to learn about how the judicial system works. And I'm one of the Teen Court judges volunteer here in Osceola County. I know that there's similar programs with law enforcement, and we need to encourage our youth to participate in those programs, because at the end of the day, they're a learning tool. And that's how the sense of community gets embedded, and the importance of our law enforcement in our community gets embedded.
That's really impressive. And speaking of programs and initiatives, are there any specific programs or initiatives that you would endorse or advocate for to promote positive interactions and understanding between law enforcement officers and community members?
Well, obviously, the ones that I discussed, I believe, I'm not sure if they still have the Explorer program that they had before.
Yes, I'm actually a part of one. Yes,
I know that is a very worthy program. You know, it's a sense of getting programs like that and getting, you know, in our schools now we require community service. What better way to have community service than, you know, having an opportunity of having law enforcement involved in those hours of community service. So I think having some sort of a coalition of available programs through law enforcement and our high schools for kids, I think it would be important. You know, a lot of times I see some kids that want to do community service, but they have a limited amount to pick from. Well, at the top of the line should be something related to law enforcement. I believe that, think that is something that should be in every school as a good option to do your community service.
And I'm really glad that you know about Explorer programs, because to be completely honest with you, not a lot of people do. And that's why there are so little Explorer programs. There are less people in Explorer programs than before. And yes, I'm really glad that you brought that up. And I personally think that it's really good for community service. It gives high schoolers the opportunity to do so. If you're in Congress, I'd really appreciate if you could maybe advocate for Explorer programs funding, because really Explorer programs, they rely on other sources of funding, because most of the funding needs to go to the police department itself. So thank you very much for that. Yeah.
I'll be very supportive of it.
Thank you. Shifting back to the topic of law enforcement. Do you believe that law enforcement agencies should undergo additional training or reforms to better serve and understand the needs of communities they police? And if so, what specific steps would you support?
Look, the reality is that we have a changing, diverse community, especially here in Central Florida. And there's cultural differences sometimes, and you know, while it's certainly the responsibility of citizens that want to become American citizens to understand the norms and the culture here in Central Florida, the reality is that a lot of times, you know, they come with their families, their grandparents and all that. And I think that it is healthy to have some sort of training in terms of cultural diversity when it comes to law enforcement. You know, especially when you are part of that community, when you're part of certain communities that are highly diverse. And I'm talking mainly District 9. So I would support those kind of training programs. I think the government can facilitate those, can help on those, and make a better understanding of the community and also of the cultural diversity that makes us so rich here in Central Florida.
I completely agree, Mr. Quinones. And as a legislator, how do you plan to work with these law enforcement agencies, especially in your district, Osceola, and community leaders and organizations to address all of these issues?
Well, I tell you what I have done in the past, in the history of my office as a county commissioner, I started neighborhood watches in communities like Buenaventura Lakeside, communities that did not have associations and they were large communities of, you know, maybe 20, 30,000 people. And so we started doing neighborhood watches and getting engaged with the police. I would bring police officers to the community center at least on a monthly basis so they could, you know, get to know some of these neighbors. They get to know some of the group of the neighborhood watch. And they would also give them some statistics, you know, of here's where the robbery incidents are occurring. Here's where drugs are occurring. And it was an interaction. And so as an elected official, this is what I did when I was at the local level. But there's no reason why I can't continue to do that at the federal level, because we're still going to have a presence here in the district, even though we're going to be, you know, pronouncing and dealing with laws in Washington. My home is still District 9. And having that approach of bringing law enforcement to speak to the community is one that I would certainly continue to do.
Yeah, Mr. Quinones, that's honestly the first I've ever heard something like that. And I really appreciated that you've done that before. It's really good to have law enforcement talk with the community members more. It's usually something that not happens too often, and usually it's not very voluntary either. So I really appreciate you for doing all of that. And yes, please continue to do that in the future. I believe that if you take it to the federal level, it will really, really build that trust between law enforcement and community, because now on the national level, we can see how all communities are communicating with all of their law enforcement.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jasar, and thank you for giving me this platform. I think this is a really positive way of also building trust with the badge, building trust in law enforcement.
Thank you. And speaking of all of these issues, we've seen it happen many times before. So I'm sure you've heard it many times before. What does the term defund the police mean to you?
It's such a crazy term that it means chaos. It means, you know, an opportunity for chaos and anarchy. You know, how would you even consider defunding such a basic element of what government is there to serve? Government is there to serve the community, to keep it safe, and to even discuss the issue of defunding the entire police or taking away that branch of government is something that I can't even imagine. And so I know that it's being considered and it's being done in some communities, but then you're also seeing the spike in criminality in those same communities. And so those big cities, you're seeing a situation where, you know, there is no law. And so I wouldn't even consider the issue and just say that whoever proposes that doesn't have the best interests of our nation or the best interests of our community in hand.
Right. And when you really think about it, when you defund the police, in all reality, it's not going to just harm law enforcement, but it's going to harm the community. Because what defund the police means, or of course, there are many definitions. Some definitions are completely defund the police. Some definition is to take money out of police and put into other aspects of the community. And then there is the definition of demilitarizing. I believe that all those definitions for defund the police is just useless and it just won't work at all. Or at least it won't help anything. Because if you think about it, when you're taking money out of law enforcement, out of police departments, you're having less police officers on the job, or if there are still the same amounts, they have less resources than before, they have lower salaries, and there's a higher turnover rate, meaning that they quit much faster than when they get hired. So, you know, it really shows that a lot of people, when they say defund the police, I don't think they think about the term as much as often. I don't know about you, but I genuinely believe that defund the police harms the community more than it does law enforcement.
It's equating defund, you know, defense. You don't want to do that in the sense of having no protection for our nation. And, you know, if you don't have a well-compensated law enforcement agency, you're not only breeding the opportunity for people to, like you said, leave and find other jobs that are paying better, but also may even breed corruption, because then you're going to have law enforcement that are not getting paid well and may consider, you know, dangerous opportunities. And so, come on, we have to be real. Police officers need to be well paid, well deserved. They're an integral part of the community. And if we're talking about money that could go to training, that's fine. We could have some of the money that needs to go to training. But those are decisions that also need to be made along the side of law enforcement. They know where that money is best put to use. And that's why you have, you know, good chief of police and sheriff that are elected officials that know where that money can be used well. And we need to trust that they're going to do their job because they're elected officials as well.
Right. And I completely believe in that as well. And what I also believe in is if a community has, you know, problems with their local police department, instead of defunding them, I believe that they should allocate more funding towards their training. If they believe their training is bad, if they believe they're not policing their communities as well, maybe more funding should go towards training, because a lot of the times, many police officers, and of course, it depends on the specific agency, but many police officers have to pay for their own extra training. So if they need more training, or if they just want to, you know, better themselves, sometimes it can't always happen because they need to pay for it out of their pockets. So do you agree that we should include maybe more funding for their own training?
Absolutely. That's a good point. You know, if we are, you know, what happens is, you have a bad actor somewhere, and then all of a sudden it explodes into, well, this is how the police is. No, that's not true. That's not how the local police in the corner is. That's not how, you know, the sheriff that is doing their jobs. You know, there's always, in every profession, there may be a bad actor here and there, but that's not the rule. That is the exception. And we cannot make law based on exceptions of certain police officers that might have deviated from their duty. You know, they do have a fiduciary duty. And I say that if someone behaves badly, yes, they're going to pay a price. And sometimes it's even higher because they have a fiduciary duty. But let's not penalize the good, hardworking police officers that are out there doing their job every day and putting their life in the safety of our community in their hands.
Yes, that's also another really good point. We shouldn't be stereotyping a whole police department, or even nationally, as we've seen it, every single law enforcement agency because of one or the few officers. Yes, those officers will be held accountable and they will be held, they will be punished, of course, within their own police departments, and they will be fired most likely. But that shouldn't reflect every other officer in the department, which is why defund the police has started. And it's just really, really bad. I don't agree with any of that. So shifting towards funding, of course, do you think that other than training, what other aspects of law enforcement can get more funding?
Well, you know, the issue of retirements and pensions things I've done are always negotiated. They do have unions that negotiate those things. I am of the opinion, and I was when I was a county commissioner, that, you know, they're a high risk profession. And in a high risk profession, such as first responders, such as law enforcement, they get a higher deal on their retirement. And I think that's fair, because there's certain professions that are high risk. And so I would support measures that will compensate them not only adequately, but that take into consideration their level of high risk involvement and take that into consideration in their pensions and things of those nature.
That's a really good idea. I do believe that that should be more common, more funding for pensions. Thank you for saying that. And what message do you have for any current or future law enforcement listening to this interview? And how can they change their perspective of law enforcement in the future?
Well, I believe that people that go into law enforcement, they do it because it's a calling. They don't necessarily do it because they're going to get rich, because I don't think you're going to get wealthy as a law enforcement, but they do it because it's a calling. And the people that do it, they do it because they have a passion for it. They want to serve the community. And we need to, when we see people like them, we need to make sure that we encourage them and not say, oh, well, no, you need to make more money. You need to get into another profession. No, that's a very honorable profession, is to be a law enforcer. And so we need to encourage that in our schools and even in our colleges, because it is a profession and it is something that, if done well, you can be well compensated as well. And that's how it should be.
And what about for any current law enforcement listening to this podcast? What would you tell them?
I tell them that I thank them for their service, and that for them to also be of the opinion that there's a lot of people that have their back and a lot of people that in this community that trust their judgment and respect them. Look, I do criminal defense in some instances, and I have to question law enforcement, but I do it with respect. I don't have to demean their profession. And I have good friends that are in law enforcement, and I praise what they do. And so you can certainly do your job and still, and don't let them be rattled by some of these media people and some of these groups that are saying defund the police. That's not the belief of, I would say, 90%, 99% of Americans. They want to believe that they can trust their police officers and law enforcement, and they can trust a badge.
Thank you. And last question, ultimately, how do we trust the badge?
I think we trust the badge by just engaging in the community, having them be part of community meetings, such as neighborhood watches, the homeowners associations, but, you know, invite them to talk at Chamber of Commerce event, invite them to talk at some of the charitable causes that we have, and let them also talk about, you know, things that they like and dislike about citizens and their behavior. I think the more we do that, the more we're going to trust each other, and the community and law enforcement will trust each other better.
Thank you. And do you have any final thoughts?
Well, thank you for the opportunity, sir. This is a great platform, and I'm grateful that you have allowed me the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Trust the Badge.